Well, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
It is so good to see you. This is a section of scripture that Father Brett read that I've spoken about a lot over the years, especially at noon, some years ago particularly. But it's so important that I didn't want to just leave it out because we've spoken about it some in terms of revealing God's plan for us and the love of God. Remember, really, the theme and Chapter 3, if there's a theme, is about being born from above. And Jesus is responding to Nicodemus, and he's explaining to Nicodemus basically that the things that he's done and the life that he's lived as a man who's been filled with the Holy Spirit, who's exemplifying, who's modeling the life from above life. And in doing so, saying to Nicodemus, this is what is for humanity. This is what this is all about. The light came into the world, enlightening every man, enlightening every human being as to what real life looks like. That's always important for me to remember, because you never can determine normality based on your preferences and personality. Jesus' life will be filtered through your personality, but it'll always be his responses. If it's not, then it's not the Lord. We're not living fully alive, not fully human. And so even if you're more prone towards being quiet or more bubbly or more whatever, the fruit of the Spirit is still the fruit of the Spirit. And it may take its own particular notes or tone through your personality type, but it'll still be Jesus. Jesus is the prototype, and not just the prototype. We've been placed into that life. And the life that we see modeled here is to be lived out again through us. I saw Glenn Davis quote a Major Thomas, my spiritual father, thing in Facebook the other week or so. And it was one of my favorite things Ian Thomas used to say, is that the Christian life is the life he lived then, lived now, by him, in us. That's a great description of the Christian life. So the exciting part, and challenging in the sense that we go, oh, wow, there's always more to experience. But the exciting part is when you read the life of Christ, when you read like in John 3, you're going, that's what he's saying. That's you, Chuck. This is what you're called to walk out. This is what you're called to experience. Because when he gets towards the end of the chapter, because the word eternal life is just the same thing as being born from above. It's the born from above life. It lasts forever, but it's the born from above life. We talk about it being the age to come life, like what's life going to be like in heaven? The age to come life lived now by him through us. And so in the last part of this little section that Brett read, it says, and he who believes in the Son has eternal life. He who does not believe in the Son shall not see life. And so he ends by saying about eternal life again. He who believes in the Son has eternal life. But remember this really important verse in verse 15, again, one of the more important verses in Scripture. I say that a lot. Like, they're all like that. They're all like one of the most important verses in Scripture. It says that whoever believes may in him have eternal life. So what we said is that God's great love for us, his solution for mankind, was to graft you into the above life that Jesus lives, to graft you into the eternal life that Jesus possesses. So it's not just having eternal life, it's having his eternal life. And so everything that we see that Jesus is talking about, when John bears witness of Christ here at the end of telling his disciples about it's okay if his ministry is diminishing, and he kind of sums up this chapter, the Holy Spirit does this, John the Apostle writes about John the Baptist, and though he's talking about Jesus, he's still talking about the above life. The above life that Jesus lived, the eternal life that Jesus lived, that quality of life that's called life and life more abundant that Jesus lived, that we've been grafted into. We need never, ever settle for less or ever, ever clamor for more, because there isn't more. And we'll see this in just a second. So verse 31, John says, speaking of Jesus, speaking of normal humanity, speaking of the life that you've now been grafted into, he who comes from above is above all. He who is of the earth is from the earth and speaks of the earth, but he who comes from heaven is above all. And what he has seen and what he has heard, these things he bears witness. And no man receives his witness. But then he goes on and says, but the ones who do receive his witness have set their seal to this, that God is true. In other words, what Jesus saw and heard, he bore witness of. He spoke. He said, he who comes from above is above all. He who comes from heaven is above all. And what he has seen and heard, these he bears witness. It's not just that Jesus spoke things, but Jesus also exemplified things. It's not just his words, though it is his words, but it's also his behavior. And so his words and his behavior exemplified or demonstrated that he came from heaven, that he had been born from above. There was something different about him, because everything that he said, because everything that he thought, and then everything that he did reflected what he saw and heard in terms of the activity of heaven being demonstrated in this moment. What heaven says is normal or not normal. I shared this last Sunday a little bit, but this was a phone call of somebody that you couldn't really relate to that couple weeks ago. And in the middle of the conversation, and one of the things I've told people that God's done this really thing in my life is really powerful, is that I just don't get intimidated. And so, because Jesus didn't get intimidated. But I found myself in this conversation getting intimidated, you know, feeling it in my emotions. And then when I got intimidated, when you get intimidated, you find yourself, there's either flight or whatever, what the other thing is, or fight. But sometimes the fight is you start defending yourself and start explaining. And in the middle of it, I remember how yucky it felt. And then I heard the Lord speak, and he says, you know, I don't ever get intimidated. Nobody intimidates me. And so he wasn't telling me there was anything wrong with this person. That wasn't the problem. He was trying to correct me. He was inviting me up. Repentance is trading up. He was inviting me to experience the life I've been grafted into. Because you're intimidated by somebody, you can't love them. Because you're still wanting something from them. You're wanting their approval. I love what John the Baptist said at the end of the little discourse when his disciples, just before these verses, said to him, Lord, we got a problem here, is that about this whole baptism thing, because this Jesus who was with you and who you bore witness of when you said he was the Lamb of God who came to take away the sins of the world, he said, people are coming to be him to be baptized. Actually, everybody's coming to him. So, like, our ministry is really suffering and his ministry is really growing. And Jesus said, a man can receive nothing unless it is given to him from heaven, which is so powerful. John was saying, what we have, what we do, regardless of what it is, small or big, is a gift from heaven. And then John answers and he says, I'm just thrilled with his voice. Just the sound of his voice makes my heart overflow. And then he says, because you need, see, he has to increase and I have to decrease. Well, that's interesting in that context, because John could have felt intimidated when he heard your ministry shrinking. You know, we might not get as much in this month. How are we going to, you know, and modernize and all that? Your ministry shrinking, but he wasn't intimidated. He says, as a matter of fact, the you that gets intimidated and is always thinking about what it's costing them and what they need, that you must decrease, but it happens as you let him increase. You with me? And so when Jesus said that to me on that phone conversation, he said, I don't get intimidated. In the moment, I'm listening and then putting the brakes on the defending and explaining and repenting. I'm going, that's right, Lord. We don't get intimidated. And then at that moment, I was able to stop and hear what this person's saying and just love them, because I didn't need anything from them anymore. I didn't need them to think I was wonderful. That wasn't the issue anymore. You with me? That's part of what it means to speak and to bear witness of what you see and hear from heaven's perspective. That's the above life point of view of living. God, we could use so many examples. We could just be here for a whole conference. Just use the examples of that. But that was relevant to me, a lately thing. And so, but I love this. When you think about no matter what's coming at you, if you're born from above and you're living from the life you've been grafted into, He who comes from above is what? Above all. Nothing. You're not under anything. You're not threatened by anything. You are an overcomer, because Jesus overcomes all the time. He who comes from above is above all, but he who's of the earth speaks the things of the earth. They, this, like that example, they're just intimidated because this is intimidating. This person's whatever. You hear me? But when you come from heaven, when you're walking in your true identity, living from the graft life you've been grafted into, you only bear witness of what you see and hear from Jesus' perspective, from heaven's perspective. Heaven on earth. I've heard people say over the years, don't be so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good. Well, you'll never be any earthly good until you get so heavenly minded that it takes over everything else. Because he who comes from above is above all. Then you can walk in the kind of godly, loving, humble authority that makes a difference. And then this last little part. For he whom God has sent speaks the words of God, for he gives the Spirit without measure. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hands. Now, this is the Son of Man, and you've been grafted into that life. He's clothed in your humanity. You're in union with God in Christ. And so when he says, and he whom God has sent speaks the words of God. Well, that's what I did in that conversation. Once I repented, I began to speak, and they were the words of God. So the words of fear or intimidation or insecurity, okay? And the deal is, how can that happen? Because when you've been grafted into the life of Jesus, you've been grafted into a life that has the Spirit without measure. I don't have to beg God for more of the Spirit. I've been placed into the life of Christ. It says, and he whom God has sent, Jesus said in John 20, even as the Father sent me, I send you. But he sends us into the world clothed in him. Just as he's clothed in our humanity when he walked on earth, we're clothed now in him. We're in Christ. And so you, Bill Jones, have the Spirit without measure. Carol Moore, you have the Spirit without measure because Jesus does. So I don't have to beg for things from God. No, you're in Christ. Christ is all and in all. For the Father has given, loves the Son, and has given all things into his hands. This is in John 16. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you, the one who you have without measure. He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he'll speak. And he will disclose to you what is to come. And he will glorify me, and he will take what's mine and disclose it to you. Then he says this, all things that the Father has are mine. Isn't that what John 3 just said? All things the Father has are mine. Therefore I said, he will take what's mine and make it real to you. Wow. Everything that the Father has, he's given in the hands of Jesus. And guess who else, therefore, trusted with you? Because you're in Christ. And then he closes out. He who believes in the Son has that kind of life. Has eternal life because you've been grafted into his eternal life. You know, so like I think about all of you got responsibilities today and tomorrow, the next week or so. Some of them may seem daunting. You know, we all have these different assignments. And I've got things going on the rest of this week and then next week and New York's and then in San Antonio. And the thing is that about all of them, Jesus is so excited about all of them because he who comes from above is above all. I don't have to perceive it or deal with it or look at it or speak about it as just an earthling. I'm not just an earthling. I'm spirit. That's what it says, that chapter. I've been born from above. I'm grafted in his eternal life, and therefore I get to participate in Jesus facing this. Amen? All righty. Well, I love you guys. We can, I may just quit and just do this. Like, I'm going to be the pastor of noon service and then turn everything else over to other people. Father, thank you so much for your word to us. Thank you that you, the gospel is so out of this world, so crazy heavenly, so transrational, so transcendent, so metaphysical, yet it's so simple. Huh. It's just Jesus. And we just bless you, Lord. But each of us here are going to get to feed on that life that we've been grafted into, just nurture that whole thing that we, this union with Christ. Wouldn't it make sense that if you'd like, Christ is your life, then he's also your food. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.